Acharya, Astotara, Satasishimat, Abhay, Charanaravinda, Bhaktivedanta, Swami, Srila Prabhupada ki, Ananta Koti, Vaishnavavinda ki, Nama Acharya, Srila Haridas Thakur ki, Jai, Prem Sakur, Sri Krishna, Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhara, Sri Vasudeva Gaur Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai. Shri Radha Krishna, Gop Gopinath, Shama Kunda, Radha Kunda, Giri Govardhana ki jai. Shri Mathura Vrindavan Dham ki jai. Shri Navadip Mayapur Dham ki jai. Shri Jagannath Puri Dham ki jai. Gangamai ki jai. Jamunamai ki jai. Bhakti Devi ki jai. Tulasi Maharani ki jai. Samaveda Bhakti Vrinda ki jai. Hari Nam Sankirtan ki jai. Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi Hari Bol. All glorious the assembled devotees. All glorious the assembled devotees. All glorious the assembled devotees. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Visakan Vitam Sya He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Nasta Pareshu Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, Bhagavati Uttama Sloke, Bhakti Bhavati Naishtiki, Narayanam Namaskritya, Naram Chaiva Narottamam, Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirayet. Hare Krishna. We have a few verses to get through before we get to the verse that's on the board. My allotment of verses is text 40 through 46. So we're discussing the story of King Anga and his desire for a child and what he actually got, which wasn't what he was expecting. So there's a strong wind here. To juggle this, looks around. No, it's not working. So I'll read through the texts that precede the one on the board. Text number 40. Sa sarasanam udyamya mrigayor vanagochara. Translation. After fixing his bow and arrow, the cruel boy used to go to the forest, unnecessarily kill innocent deer, and as soon as he came, all of the people would cry, "Here comes cruel Vena, here comes cruel Vena." Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Kshatriyas are allowed to hunt in the forest for the purpose of learning the killing art, not to kill animals for eating or for any other purpose. The Kshatriya kings were sometimes expected to cut off the head of a culprit in the state. For this reason, the Kshatriyas were allowed to hunt in the forest. Because this son of King Anga, Vena, was born of a bad mother, he was very cruel, and he used to go to the forest and unnecessarily kill the animals. All the neighboring inhabitants would be frightened by his presence, and they would call, "Here comes Vena, here comes Vena." So from the beginning of his life, he was fearful to the citizens. So we just have to remember that the mother of King Vena, she's described as the daughter of death personified. I don't recall the previous class where that was explained, but all of those gentlemen here who are planning to get married, try not to marry the daughter of death personified. That would be my advice. So you never know what might come of it. So check your astrologer very carefully. So text number 41. Akride kridato balan vayasyan atidharunaha prasahya niranu krosha pashu maram amarayat. The boy was so cruel that while playing with young boys of his age, he would kill them very mercilessly, as if they were animals meant for slaughter. So, Srila Prabhupada's purport, no purport there. Text number 42. Tam vichakshya kalam putram sasaner vividhe nripa yadana shashitum kalpo brishram asit sudur manaha. Translation. After seeing the cruel and merciless behavior of his son Vena, King Anga punished him in different ways to perform him, but was unable to bring him to the path of gentleness. He thus became greatly aggrieved. Text number 43. Prayena bhyachito devo ye praja grihamedina kad apatya britam dukam yena vindanti durbaram. Translation. The king thought to himself, "Persons who have no son are certainly fortunate. They must have worshipped the Lord in their previous lives, so they would not have to suffer the unbearable happiness caused by a bad son." Text number 44. Yata papiyasi kriti adamascha mahanrinam yato viruddha sarvesham yata adir anantaka. Translation. A sinful son causes a person's reputation to vanish. His irreligious activities at home cause irreligion and quarrel among everyone, and this creates only endless anxiety. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. It is said that a married couple must have a son, otherwise their family life is void. But a son born without good qualities is as good as a blind eye. A blind eye has no use for seeing, but it is simply unbearably painful. The king therefore thought himself very fortunate to have such a bad son. Text 45. Kastam prajapadesham vai moha bandhanam atmana pandito bahu manyeta yad ata kleshada griha. Translation: who, if he is considerate and intelligent, would desire such a worthless son? Such a son is nothing but a bond of illusion for the living entity, and he makes one's home miserable. So now we come to text number 46, which is on the board. So we'll do responsively. Kad apatyam varam manye, kad apatyam varam manye, sad apatyach chucham padat, sad apatyach chucham padat, nirvidyeta grihan matyo, nirvidyeta grihan matyo, yat klesha nivaha griha, yat klesha nivaha griha, kad apatyam varam manye, sad apatyach chucham padat, nirvidyeta grihan matyo, yat klesha nivaha griha. Vira, sorry, I have a severe wind problem here. Kad apatyam, bad son. Varam, better. Manye, I think. Sad apatyat, than a good son. Sucham, of grief. Padat, the source. Nirvidyeta, becomes detached. Grihat, from home. Matya, a mortal man. Yet, because of whom, klesha nirvaha, hellish, griha, home. Translation: then the king thought, a bad son is better than a good son because a good son creates an attachment for home, whereas a bad son does not. A bad son creates a hellish home from which an intelligent man naturally becomes very easily detached. So please repeat. Then the king thought, a bad son is better than a good son, because a good son creates an attachment for home, whereas a bad son does not. A bad son creates a hellish home from which an intelligent man naturally becomes very easily detached. Jai Srila Prabhupada, Namo Shivaya, Krishna Pristaya, Bhutale, Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami, Kumamane, Namaste, Saraswati Devi, Gauravani, Pacharine, Nirvasesha, Srinivadi, Paschita, Deshitani, Jai Srila Prabhupada. If we remember Srila Prabhupada's own life experience, it was his fortune, he thought initially misfortune, but it was his fortune that he married a girl that to whom he was not very much attracted. It turned out that during his life, his wife also was not very appreciative of his attachment to preaching activities and engaging in the Sankirtan movement. And we know that famous line where Prabhupada said, it's either me or tea, because she was buying those tea biscuits, and in order to do that she was selling the book that Prabhupada was printing and getting money and was able to purchase her tea biscuits. So Prabhupada said, it's either tea or me, and she said whimsically, as probably any wife would, oh, it's tea, of course, not realizing that there was a serious intent behind Srila Prabhupada's statement, and not realizing, of course, the nature of her husband, that he was a pure devotee of the Lord. He had a huge mission to perform. Srila Prabhupada was remembering all those things. So Srila Prabhupada left home, and we sitting here are all the beneficiaries of that act. So we should, in a sober mind, understand what are the principles of this Vedic culture which benefits so many people in so many ways. And it is based upon acts of austerity and renunciation that seem externally somewhat cruel, somewhat intolerable, not at all in line with so-called modern society. So Srila Prabhupada was having so much mercy upon all of the people of the world. He was, for this act, he became Jagat Guru. He gave up his near and dear ones for the fallen souls of the whole world. And as I said, we are the beneficiaries of that. So I just want to, before launching into any discussion, I just want to say that I do appreciate in large part what was spoken by Vidwan Gauranga a couple of days ago. Perhaps he didn't phrase his intentions in a way that was palatable to all of us, But I know that he meant well. And I saw this morning that he had posted a little sign on the notice board saying that he wasn't going to give Bhagavatam class again. I think that's not the right thing to do. I think we should wish him and urge him to again come and give class. He's an intelligent, well-versed devotee. There's very few devotees in Mayapur who know the scripture as well as he does. And I can only say from my own personal experience how I grew up in a family that was totally different from his. He did mention that interesting picture which he gave, that his mother told him that if he would ever cause nonsense with some girl, that she would chop his hands and legs. And that was so shocking to him that it caused him to behave himself through his young life. My own experience was different. My parents were well versed in the process of sense gratification, and they urged me at a very young age, drink this beer, get yourself a girlfriend. These kind of things shocked me actually as a young man. I was embarrassed. So I think a lot of us have had that experience, and how fortunate the people of this country are who are raised with a concept of four regulative principles. Currently I'm preaching in the United States. A lot of our members of our preaching are from Indian families, and many of them, they say, actually this four regulative principles, we never knew what is four regulative principles. It was taken as a given. Automatically, we followed these things. We never heard this thing, four regulative principles. They were there automatically in our life. So just imagine the fortune of having that advantage point after growing up, to then hear about Krishna consciousness and to be already qualified in at least one major portion of your life, that Harinam initiation means four regulative principles and 16 rounds a day. So if you're already raised in four regulative principles, chanting 16 rounds is a small step to make. So Srila Prabhupada did urge, I remember his early disciples, especially the ladies, when the preaching came over to India, Srila Prabhupada did say to the ladies, you should stay for some time in the houses of our life members and learn cooking. Learn how to cook from them. Because it is somewhat difficult to learn how to utilize the spices in different combinations for different preparations. I know that because at a very early stage in my Krishna consciousness, I became the head cook in Bhaktivedanta Manor. So I don't know how the devotees survived my cooking, but because I wasn't very good at that spicing business, but I did know that devotees like chapatis, and so I made it a point they could have as many chapatis as they wanted. That was the mainstay of my contribution in the kitchen. So cooking, we should remember, is only one of so many arts that have to be learned by young girls. And I don't know whether or not here in Mayapur we have special training for young girls in this field, but there is in the Vedic tradition 16 arts, which, well, 64, is it 16? 64, right, that's huge. 64 arts have to be learned by young girls. I don't know what those 64 arts are. I know my wife does know. She's raised in India. I don't think she knows all of them, but she does know a few. I had experience, so I can speak from practical knowledge of living some time, not very long, but some time in a residential area where there were many educated, cultured Indian families around. Early in the morning, you'll hear that harmonium practice going on in all the houses. The young children, the girls, the boys, Sa Re Ga Ma Pa Da Ni Sa, all that stuff is going. In the evening also, then you'll hear tablas, you'll hear sitars, sarods, and so many things they are learning. Practically speaking, I know it's true in Calcutta, in Bengal, that from educated families, when they arrange the marriage, the girl cannot be shown to the boy's family unless she's competent in a number of these arts, particularly singing, dancing, cooking, and I should imagine many of the domestic skills, which are so important. So no family would, any family whose daughter didn't have those skills, they would be ashamed to make the arrangement, because the boy's family will definitely ask. They're going to ask the question, what can she do? How does she cook? How does she sew? How does she do this? How does she do that? This is not being preferential to boys or discriminatory against women. These are some of the practical necessities of life. We think it's so easy, oh, I want to get my shirt tailored, take it to the store. You know, and so many things that we take it outside the house to get it fixed or to get it done. But these things were traditionally had to be done at home. So that culture within the house has to be learned. Even there are people in the Western world who do these things. There's a group of people in America called the Amish. Those who are from America, they know this. These people do everything without electricity, without telephones, without any machinery. They make their own clothes. They grow the cotton that makes the clothes. They make their own furniture. And they don't use cars. They only use horse and buggy. I think some of this culture could easily be applied in ISKCON in a very fruitful way. So if we look at the Vedic culture, we see what is the most important thing. The most important thing is knowledge of the Absolute Truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and our eternal relationship with Him. This is the crowning crest jewel of Vedic knowledge and of the Vedic culture. So the most appropriate setting for that jewel is in a cushion or a setting, if you like, of highly cultured people who are conversant with all the subtleties of that Vedic culture. So that is what we call Varnashram, Daivi Varnashram. And although devotees are supposedly meant to be not so connected with Varnashram, but yet in the married life, certainly, there is an aspect of Varnashram, Daivi Varnashram, which is very, very advantageous, very useful. So I can just talk from personal experience that I have I have benefited enormously from being favorable to that point of view. So let us get back to the verse. So now, this one feature of Vedic culture here is it's very radical, extremely radical, that the father is leaving home, just like Srila Prabhupada did. So King Anga, he's become disgusted with family life because his son is a complete rascal. He's an asura. And the father has tried to control him and educate him in so many ways, but nothing has come, nothing has worked. So you can say that this man, Vena, he is from birth, he's destined to be like this. There's something missing in his genetic makeup or something like that. He is predisposed to antisocial behavior. And the best advice in the world is not helping him. So since this son is giving so much pain to the father's mind begins to think differently. As a king, he must be engaged in fruitive activities. He cannot avoid that. Kingly position within the Varnashram system, he must be engaged in a certain amount of religious activities which are beneficial to the state and to the people, and set an example for them. In order to do that, he needs a son to take over the kingdom after he leaves, so that there is a smooth transfer. But that son is bad. So now he has to make a clean break. A clean break. Am I going to live and become old with this bad son creating hell in my kingdom? Or am I going to do what I'm supposed to do as a Raja, Raja Rishi, Rajashi, and make a clean break and take care of myself? If I can't save anybody else, at least let me save myself. Let me go to the forest and become a sadhu and worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he does that. So in that sense, Anga is great. He's a great devotee. So he began thinking in terms of detachment. He accepted his bad son as a good impetus for detachment from home life, and therefore considered his bad son his friend, since he was helping him become detached from his home. Ultimately, one has to learn how to detach oneself from attachment to material life. And therefore, if a bad son, by his behavior, helps a householder to go away from home, it is a boon. So although Vena, also although Anga wanted a son, he wanted so many things, actually he got something better. For him, at least. This was the design of the Lord that, we, as we shall see in the future, the Shaktivesh avatar of the Lord King Prithu arrives, and then a whole new chapter of transcendental life in the kingdom begins in the world. So the ways of Krishna are inscrutable. Nobody can understand them. And we simply have to accept whatever Krishna gives us. We cannot fight against Krishna's will. It's impossible. We can beg, we can pray, we can perform austerities to please Krishna, but if Krishna is not willing, whatever Krishna wants, we have to accept. But Krishna has said, I will supply the needs of my devotees. Yogakshemam Vahami. So, we should be sure that Krishna will maintain us, he'll take care of our needs, he'll provide those things what we need, He'll teach us those lessons that we need to learn. And any fruitful outcome, wealth, prosperity, all of those things, we should not be anxious for them. If they come, Krishna wants us to use them in Krishna's service. So, devotional service means being dependent totally on Krishna. Totally on Krishna. We've seen devotees undergo tremendous tragedies. We've seen devotees receiving tremendous benefits and wealth. So all of these things are going on. We cannot know what is in our future. So whatever Krishna prescribes for us, that is his wish. And we should know that it is the best thing for us. It is there to teach us a lesson. I have personally undergone some difficulties in the last couple of years. And I've seen that Krishna has helped me in so many ways and to overcome this difficulty. And as a result of that, I feel myself that I should believe in these things that I'm talking about. I feel that I should take this seriously. I should take Krishna more seriously. I should take the words of Krishna more seriously. We say, oh, Krishna maintains his devotee. But if you're in a situation of need, it's sometimes a test of one's faith in Krishna. So, if we look at the character of Vena, he was a nasty character, to be sure. Very nasty. He's like a snake, serpent. He was so cruel that playing with the young boys of his age, he would kill them mercilessly as if they were animals meant for slaughter. I remember when I was a young boy, I was in primary school. During the break time, all the kids would go out into a big yard and we would play games. And generally the girls would play on one side, the boys would play on the other side. But they were friendly games. Sometimes they were in games involving balls or just running around and touching people or catching, you know, just playing a tag game or something. But Vena's game was, if I tag you, I kill you. So it's pretty nasty. I don't suppose he had many friends for very long. So, you know, when Vena would come to the playground, I think it would empty out pretty quick. So, he also became expert at bow and arrow, shooting innocent deer. It's interesting, Srila Prabhupada says here in the purport, learning the killing art, not to kill animals for eating or for any other purpose. Now currently I live in the United States of America, and it's a big country. There's a lot of wilderness out there. People are very fond of taking bows and arrows and going into that wilderness and killing deer or killing bison or killing anything, whatever they can kill. And they're very proud to say, oh, but I eat everything that I kill. They say this, many of them. And that's considered honorable, to eat what you kill. Okay, so you didn't just kill it and leave it uselessly. But Prabhupada said, not to kill animals for eating or for any other purpose. This killing of animals is meant for the Kshatriyas, to practice their skills of killing and of to create that fearlessness of danger. So that when they have to cut the head of a culprit in the state, they're willing to do it. So, Kshatriya is a very great position. As was stated a few days ago, basically the Kshatriya and the Brahmin and to some extent the Vaishya caste, they perform their activities based upon principle, not just trying to fulfill their needs for the belly. So the Kshatriyas, they had very, very strong principles. And these principles, when fulfilled, would protect the state. Finally, Vena, he was punished by King Anga in so many ways. It's the duty of the father to punish the son. When he's young, when the son is young, he can be allowed to play. Then up to the age, I think it's around from 6 or 7 onwards up to 12 or so, he should be punished, he should be disciplined very severely. Severely means kindly, with good intention, not to hurt, but to make the boy understand what is authority. So, I remember when I went to school, I'm giving this personal examples, and I'm not saying it's right. I went to a boarding school, I was very privileged. And in that boarding school, the headmaster had a bamboo cane, a little thin one, about this long. And if you transgressed the rules of the school, you would get beaten with that cane. I mean, beaten hard. And I experienced this many, many times, because I was a bad kid. I just enjoyed what we call ragging. Ragging means kind of advanced form of playing, which was against the rules. We would break out of the dormitories at night and wander around the grounds, and we would eat candy bars and things like this. Very brave and bold, kind of exciting ventures. But sometimes we get caught. Sometimes there would be pillow fights in the dormitories. So that was instant punishment. So somehow or other I survived that stage without feeling, without any kind of trauma. Instead of, even though I was beaten, as I said, many, many times, I considered it a mark of honor to have those black stripes on my backside. So, but punishment is required, but not to that extent. It's a little excessive. Because how do we know who is the person who is meting out that punishment? Has to be he has to be very, very careful not to overstep the line. So boys, they need some punishment. They need the threat of punishment at least. Prabhupada said, he advised, and I think this is very good wisdom, is that the stick should be hung on the wall so they can see the stick. That stick can sometimes be brandished, but not used. So at a later age, these boys can be made friend, then the father makes friend of their son, and that boy quickly comes to manhood as he's taught so many things by his father. So in this way, there is a system for taking care of children, there is a system for boys, there is a system for girls. There is a wonderful culture which we can absorb. And I think all of us will admit that having come here to Mayapur, we've learned something. Just coming to India, we've learned something. I can say from personal experience that when I first came to India, I loved I love to be here. I totally love to be here. I was a brahmachari. I love to go to the houses of the life members and experience a little bit of their culture. Some of them were very cultured and some were not so. But I love to learn and I love to see, and I would be able to see vestiges of Vedic culture everywhere, in the homes, in the businesses, in the trains. To me, living in India was just total enjoyment and a learning process all the time. So with this I'd like to finish and ask if anybody has any questions. I hope you enjoy your stay in India as much as I do. I always enjoy it enormously. Yes, Gyanagama Prabhu. We're not hearing you. It's not working. No. Hello? Maybe if you could turn this fan off here, then I will hear better. I think the switch is...
so superior.
I'm sorry?
Vedic culture is superior. Why do we have an instance where the king renounces his position, knowing that his son is mentally disturbed? I mean, if he had one child here who started clearly complaining, that child would have to be incarcerated.
As I understand, that Vena was not so incompetent at ruling. He was actually quite competent. If you look in a few verses ahead, that all of the rogues and thieves, they ran from in fear of him. But what he was deficient in, basically, was any kind of... He was asura. He denied the existence of God. He said, "Worship me." And that's basically what we are being asked. We're being asked to worship our presidents and prime ministers and all these wonderful people who occupy positions in government. And they are rascals, also. And I don't think our system of justice is so good. I'll just give you one example of that. It's a mundane example, of course. A few years ago, 15 years ago or so, more, there was a thing called the SNL crisis. It was a crisis where savings and loan banks, they crashed. Millions of people lost money to the tune of billions of dollars. It was somewhat like the banking crash. Afterwards, there was a major inquiry, and the government went after these people who were responsible within those banks, and they jailed literally thousands upon thousands of bank officials for the collapse of the savings and loans and the loss of the people's money. Now, we've had a repeat of that in America a couple of years ago, when the banks, through deregulation and false banking practices, they engineered another banking crisis. And this time, it wasn't billions, it was trillions. The total cost is in somewhere in the region of $20 trillion loss. And hundreds of millions of people lost their savings and their retirement plan. And it crashed the whole economy. And it put millions of people out of work. And it reverberated around the world as all of these junk bonds were sold to many, many countries around the world, whole communities who had invested in these bonds found themselves without any money, and they were literally bankrupt. But guess how many people went to jail as a result of that banking collapse? Zero. Not a single person went to jail on account of it. So I would question our legal process is good. That's one example. And I think that type of scenario is repeated in many different areas of life. Because the Brahmins were there to take care of it. And it was more important for him to get out. Because destiny would make sure that he became king. He was destined to become king. The Vena would have become king sooner or later. Either way, his father would have been powerless unless he had personally killed him himself. So I think we have to look at this story from the point of view of the eventual outcome. The eventual outcome has more meaning to it than, you know, if Vena had been locked up or killed and somebody else had been installed as the king. So any other questions? Is that, I can't go any further than that. I don't. Any other question, ladies? Probably. I'm sorry? Yes. Yes. The question is that Dhruva's grandson is not getting the spiritual benefits of Dhruva's so-called perfection of life that he had reached, that if someone becomes like Dhruva, becomes a pure devotee, all his family members are purified and saved. Something like that, I'm thinking. I've heard that Prabhupada said, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, that Prabhupada was asked, you know, about 14 generations before and after these generations get purified by if you are a pure devotee, that you have all these generations also get liberated. Prabhupada qualified that by saying they get the opportunity for devotional service. That's what it means that they get liberated. They get eligible for the devotional service. So Vena, well, he would have been eligible for devotional service too, but he was an asura, and he was placed there by Krishna. It was the design of the Lord that King Prithu would come. So again, we can, the rules are there, but sometimes the rules seem to be adjusted. Krishna can do whatever he wants. Any other question? Okay. Granta Raj, Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.